views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and...
This is Dr. Nusheen Darvish, and I'm the co-host with Dr. Pat.
Yeah, two of us decided we were finally going to team up and take some of the conversation that we have been having over the past 10-plus years to the forefront, and there's a reason for it. Today's show is all about that. You know, it's about taking a step back for a moment and look at where we've been and why we decided, and what we're planning to do with Lyme Talk Radio. You know, what are the issues? What are the truths involved with this? And what are some of the stories and the journeys along the way? You know, Dr. Darvish, it's so great to be doing this with you because you and I spend time talking about, and we have done this over the past 10 years, talking about the state of affairs in the Lyme community and Lyme disease itself. You know, I want to let's talk about this from your perspective for a minute, if we could. You know, what has this been like for you over the past, let's say, 10 plus years in your practice, in what you've discovered and learned about Lyme disease, especially given that, you know, we live in a state that I think up until recently, or maybe even recently, doesn't really believe Lyme disease exists there.
You know, first of all, Pat, I'm so excited to be doing this with you. I think we've got quite a lot, not only to share with each other and with the community out there, but also for all of us to learn and continue to learn and hopefully make an impact in transforming lives from within. So, you know, I think back around 25 years ago when I was in medical school, I got a one-liner, maybe two lines, in one of the textbooks, in one of the classes about Lyme disease. And it was regarded to be so rare that we didn't even, you know, speak anything about it. And we kind of just brushed over it and moved on to things like HIV. And now we're realizing that Lyme disease is six times more prevalent than HIV disease is. So you think back and say, what were we thinking 25 years ago teaching students in medical school and still today? Then I look back and I see that once I started practicing, I would come across Lyme disease in terms of just my intuition picking up an infection like Lyme in some of my chronic neurological patients and some of my patients who were suffering with fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis and depression and bipolar and even cancer. And I would think back and I say, huh, that's supposed to be rare. That's what I was thought. So I would just brush over it, just like they had in medical school. So I didn't pay attention to it, even though my intuition kind of said there is some infection going on here that you need to pay attention to. But my mind, which had been taught the Western medicine, had said, no, there is no such thing because it's really, really rare. So as time went on, I realized that I was coming across this more and more, and I finally decided to listen to my intuition and pursue looking into what Lyme disease meant, what it was, where did it come from. and who does it affect, and what does it affect, how does it affect these people and patients and our society. And so it's taken me through a journey of learning and continue to learn and become more open to accepting and acknowledging what is out there, not only in terms of disease processes that are going on, but also what treatment options and what diagnostic options are available to evaluate and help people who are suffering from severe diseases like multiple sclerosis or rheumatoid arthritis or Parkinson's and dementia and neurological diseases, chronic pain and cancer.
Yeah.
So I've gone through this journey, and now I am learning more about the relationship of what Lyme disease is and cancer, which is hardly even talked about and nobody even looks at. So it's made me really grow as a person and as a physician, and it has also been very, very satisfying because I have seen transformations happen with people, and they've taught me and I've taught patients quite a bit in becoming who they want to become and becoming active in their lives, in their communities, and really watching that amazing transformation that happens with these people, through these people. It's just been really amazing and powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what you and I were going to really bring to the forefront here as well, is, you know, not only are we going to be sharing, you know, what has changed, where were we, what have we learned, where are we today, and where are we going, but we're going to take a walk on the wild side here for a little bit, because, you know, beyond all of this, Dr. Darvish and I are also putting together the Lyme Lie, and, you know, we have Lyme Lie's website, and you'll see things start to change and emerge, because I think what you said, Dr. Darvish, is really fascinating and important. You know, there are people out there now that have been out there talking about what their journey has been like. You know, where were we in 1995? You know, why is it that a woman, Linda Oley, a registered nurse from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, devastating effects over 30 years, went without the proper diagnosis, treatment for 20 years, yet through her suffering, she's been able to remain hopeful, right? You know, she helps other people now, you know, living with Lyme helps them find hope. And she came out in an interview and said, I just want the public to be aware that there is help and there is hope, and to seek that. And that's really, you know, for you and I, you know, that is really the place now that we really come to the forefront. Both of us have been out in the public speaking. I went back and we were trying to figure out when the first show was that you and I actually did that talked about Lyme disease, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it went back to like something like 2006. And, you know, people say 2006. Well, think about it. That was a while ago.
That was a while ago. Definitely. Yeah. A while ago. Things have changed so much since.
Right. You know, let's talk about this in terms of, you know, what we've discovered along the way. And what I mean by that is, let's take a look at some of the changes, you know, some of the statistics. What do you think, Dr. Darvish, about the fact that the CDC had come out, you know, what was it, about a year ago, and said, oopsie, doesn't look like we've made the right, doesn't look like we gave the right numbers. We'd like to make an adjustment.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I was looking at 1995. You mentioned 1995.
Yeah.
So I went back and looked at CDC report on 1995, and they reported that they had found Lyme in 43 states and that the prevalence was around 12,000 cases in the whole United States. By 2000, the prevalence had gone up to about 18,000 cases in U.S. And now it's over 300,000 cases in U.S. And keep in mind that the laboratory testing that the CDC is depending upon for some of these statistics is very inaccurate. So in other words, they're missing a lot. There's a lot of false negatives. So even with the number of false negatives, we are still getting over 300 cases being diagnosed officially by doctors. So this is just amazing. And you know, still the CDC has not really identified Lyme disease in certain states, like Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yet it's prevalent. I practice here in Washington, in Seattle, and I can tell you that more than half of my practice is Lyme disease patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wonder, where are these people coming from?
Yes, you do.
you know?
You do. They're not all coming from New Jersey, right?
No, and bugs don't, they don't understand boundaries. They don't stay in a state or in a country, you know. They go cross boundaries, these human boundaries that we have created. They cross these boundaries. So Lyme and its associated infections and conditions is prevalent in every state in North America.
Yeah. You know, let's do this. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to give you some basic information about Lyme disease if you don't have it already. And the reason that we're going to do this is because, you know, as we move forward with the show, you know, we're really planning an amazing time for all of you, you know, combined with opportunities for you to participate, share your story, and contribute in your own way. And so this is really very exciting for us to take a look at how we can be of service. And it really is in the spirit that I shared with everybody earlier about, you know, it is in that moment of support and hope that this amazing woman, you know, says that, look, the only thing that makes sense out of pain and suffering is to be able to give back. That's what Linda says. So when her career as a parish nurse ended, God nudged her to start a local support group. Where? In Harrisburg. And that brought meaning and purpose to her life and her experience. So many of us have had that same experience where we've been called to offer more. We're going to take a short break. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, joined by my fabulous co-host,
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Put a little woohoo in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Are you into it? For the month of April, take a picture in your Intuit apparel and post it on Facebook for all to see and receive a reading from Lynn Brown on your Facebook page of your prominent aura color and what it means for you. Make sure you tag Lynn Brown or the Are You Intuit Facebook page with your photo so Lynn can find you. Visit intuitapparel.com today and wear your intuition with pride.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's T-H-E-D-R-PatShow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip for the day. What is abundance? It isn't the same to all of us. So what's your personal gold? Is it the full expression of yourself in business, or in love, or in the creation of a book or product, or the service you offer? All of the above? When we step into allowing our joy that corresponds with our essence, we are literally coming out of the closet and making new choices. We look and sound different. We don't even talk about the same things anymore. We have a new spark. So wouldn't it make sense that it causes ripples and earthquakes around us? When you shift, you affect everyone around you. You're teaching people to step into all that they are, and they will come to you and say, what have you done? What makes you different? Join me on Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and let's go deep with your abundance.
This is Dr. Nusheen Darvish, and I am joining you with my wonderful co-host,
Dr. Papasili. Hey, everybody. It's great for both of us to be teaming up and connecting with all of you.
And this is Lyme Talk Radio.
Lyme Talk Radio. Yeah, lots to come from us in the weeks, months, and years to come, because this is a really very important conversation. You know, Dr. Darvish, we talked a little bit about where we were in 1995. You know, and for many people, 1995 presented, you know, interesting information. Why do you think that this started to come to the forefront, you know, albeit slightly to the forefront back then? What do you think has contributed to the major change of slightly to the forefront in 95? But here we are now, right? 15, 20 years later.
You
What's
know, I
changed?
I really think that it's people. People with chronic diseases and things, you know, things like autoimmune diseases and fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. I mean, if you look back in to 1995, there was hardly any chronic fatigue that was diagnosed. And then I remember way back then, they were just coming up with this catch-all term, the kitchen sink term called chronic fatigue. And then they added the second one, which was fibromyalgia, which was the catch-all term for people suffering with pain with unknown cause. So, and people would go to the doctor and still do today and be put on antidepressants and pain medications. And I think really people got very tired of being prescribed pain medications and antidepressants and not knowing why they're so tired and not knowing why are they in so much pain. So the demand was there. And then at the same time, the rise in, you know, things like multiple sclerosis, MS, and some of these neurological diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and rheumatoid arthritis and lupus and all of these autoimmune conditions. Why? Why the rise?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about what the rise is. And, you know, this is fascinating because, you know, I started to look at this not too long ago. And, you know, what we have right now are organizations right out there. We have, first of all, we have the AARDA, the Autoimmune, American Autoimmune Related Disease Association. Then we have the Autoimmune Research Organization. So what's happening is that people are discovering that they are invisible in the world of health and healing and wellness. That's what they're discovering. And they're discovering of that they can do something about it. So for example, Dr. Darvish, this autoimmuneresearch.org, right, is a foundation whose charity is about educational efforts focused on health professionals, the public, to understand the cause of chronic inflammation disease. And then this organization goes on, and here's what's changed, right? You ready? And it says many autoimmune conditions, including fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, like you said, MS, chronic fatigue, post-treatment Lyme disease. There's a name for this now, PTLDS, right?
Yeah.
Are succumbing to therapies based on some level of treatment. many not based on the molecular description of the disease, but based on either a pill, potion, or lotion that mimics some kind of cure. Is it because we don't know how to actually get at the bottom of this, or is it because we're not willing to recognize that there are multiple layers in, quote, an autoimmune disease, in Lyme disease, right? I think that, you know, PTLDS, right, post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome, you know, that there are many layers of this that a pill or a potion is not going to take care of.
Definitely not. And, you know, a lot of these chronic diseases teach us there's a purpose for these diseases. Yeah. And I think, you know, Lyme disease being one of the things that we are looking at from our perspective, but there are multiple other conditions, and all of these conditions are interrelated. And, you know, we are such human beings that we get stuck in our own ways. We are very stubborn as humans. We are very egotistical as humans. And we always believe that we are always right as humans. And so we rarely, or I should say, it's not very common that you find people stepping out of the box and saying, questioning things and saying, hey, what about this? What about Lyme disease being a major cause of things like fibromyalgia? Yeah. What about mycoplasma being a major cause of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue? What about all of these chronic infections being a cause of cancer? Yeah. You know, so it takes few people, and those people are the brilliant, the geniuses, and they're the ones that are very humble and unfortunately go through a lot of martyrdom in many senses. They're living martyrs in this world, sacrificing their own well-being for the wellness of others.
Yeah.
In finding and promoting the root cause of some of these conditions in order to help society become a better place for all of us, in order for humans to become healthier and to be able to serve others, and in order for civilization to continue to advance.
You know, let's talk about this for a minute, because let's talk about detection for a moment. And I think this is really kind of eye-opening for those people out there. You know, if you're anything like most people walking around, you don't even remember, right? You don't even remember, you don't remember that a tick actually bit you. You know, because first of all, if you did get a tick bite, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, right? You know, if you did get a tick bite, probably it was coupled by about 25 mosquito bites. So by the time you were done, it was pretty difficult to tell which was the mosquito bite, which was the tick bite. But the point is that, you know, whether or not you can tell you've been bitten, there are signs and symptoms now that we know. You know, many of us can point back to a specific event or how we felt or what happened at that. But let's get to the test for a minute. You know, there is the test. I know you're going to laugh a little bit, but there's the test. And who decides the test? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, right? And so they come out and there's this test. And let's talk about the test. And then let's talk about why there's some levels of reliability, if not a lot of levels of unreliability. But there's this test. In some states, and I know Susan Green travels around, Dr. Darvish, she's an attorney, and she goes to states and she says, wait, it cannot be illegal for somebody to request the test. But let's talk about the test and what we've learned.
Well, first of all, you know, this bacteria itself is very smart, as is its own what we call co-infections, the bacteria and other parasites and viruses that accompany this particular Lyme bacteria, Borrelia, by the way, which now they're finding multiple strains of Borrelia. Anyhow, these bacteria are very, very smart. They create little cocoons around themselves. We call them biofilms. They hide within the white cells. They hide in tissues like in your jaw, where it doesn't cause necessarily any pain, or signs of infection. Yet they are able to multiply and kind of crawl into the nervous system over time when they're undetected. They fool the immune system, they fool the nervous system, and they start throwing havoc into the body and causing all sorts of symptoms. You know, initially we were looking at the rash, the bullseye rash, as being the symptom, the initial symptom of Lyme disease. Well, now we know that less than 5% of people who actually have Lyme disease get the bullseye rash. And the people that do get the bullseye rash, this is their second exposure to Lyme. It's not their first exposure to Lyme disease.
Right.
So you get this very smart bug creating itself a house, hiding from the immune system, and as a result, hiding from laboratory tests. Now, the one thing that this bacteria also does is that it suppresses the body's immune system. It suppresses your body's white cells, or what we call the natural killer cells. And these tests depend on a good, strong immune system. So what they're doing, our diagnostic tests are detecting how well your body's army is responding to an infection. We're not actually looking at detecting the infection because it's hard to find that infection. We're looking at the body's reaction to that infection. Well, if you have a weakened immune system as a result of this actual infection, then you're also not going to have a positive test because the test is not picking up a very active immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So we get a lot of false negatives coming through, very difficult to test for these infections. There is a couple of laboratories nationwide that have focused in building their technology, and they're getting better at detecting some of these infections, but they're not well known most doctors don't know about these laboratories, so they don't send samples to these laboratories to be tested. Only the doctors that have actually taken the step out of their busy schedules to self-educate and go to some of these conferences to learn about Lyme disease and its detection actually get a chance to possibly send samples to these laboratories for testing. But the local laboratories often miss it. There's a high rate of false negatives detected by the current laboratories. And so I get patients that come in and they've had Lyme testing that's negative 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and even recently, and they're still sick, and not only just sick, they're sicker than they were 10, 15 years ago, and they're on all these pain medications and all these antidepressants and all these different cortisone injections and biological medications.
I mean, there's a list, because what we're talking about here is, you know, a lot of folks are being treated for, what did we talk about before? The wide range of autoimmune disease, you know, that's out there. You know, they're being treated for categories. And by the way, you know, the autoimmune disease and the industry supporting it, the estimate is that the NIH estimates 23.5 million Americans suffer from autoimmune disease. The Autoimmune Related Disease Association says, nope, it's about 50 million Americans. Why? Because the categories don't even capture it all. And so if you're in that space, right, Dr. Darvish, if you're in one of those categories, one of those diseases, there is a traditional protocol that insurance companies will pay for that. And that's what happens. We go through and we get the protocol, and a lot of it has to do with drugs, pharmaceuticals, and we're giving it to folks and the symptoms get a little better. But interesting, a lot of times the inflammation levels don't go down, right? Don't you think that's a little strange?
And then, exactly. And, you know, I've The numbers are much higher than that, and I can tell you that because I have seen more patients today than I did 10 years ago with Hashimoto's. And I don't know if you're familiar with what Hashimoto's is. It's an autoimmune thyroid condition.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that you have a thyroid disease in terms of the hormones being off in your thyroid level. So, you know, this goes very much undetected commonly because most doctors are just looking at one or two thyroid hormones and do not check for thyroid antibodies. And yet, when you do start looking at the thyroid antibodies, you do see that their body is producing antibodies against the thyroid medication or thyroid gland. So at this point, it's no longer a thyroid condition. It's an immune condition. It's an immune disorder. And some things causing the immune system to go haywire in order to react to its own thyroid. And so these ones, you know, people with Hashimoto's, I'm not reporting it to the CDC. I'm not reporting it to the autoimmune associations because from a Western medical perspective, there is really no treatment for Hashimoto's, no treatment for an autoimmune thyroid problem. So why would I report anything?
Yeah. Yeah. And let's just, we're going to go to break. But before we do, here's a few things to think about, right? First of all, one of the things to think about, maybe Dr. Darvish, you can talk about it when we come back. Women in particular in the autoimmune community, it is a major women's health issue. Out of the 50 million Americans that have been projected, focusing with autoimmune disease, it is also stated 75% of them are women. Now, when you take what Dr. Darvish is looking at and you look at the number one relationship between autoimmune diseases, a female to male ratio, Hashimoto's disease is a 10 to 1. 10 to 1. And so what we're learning now about this is that autoimmune disease has been cited in the top 10 leading causes of all deaths among U.S. women aged 65 and younger. And it goes on, you know, this information is really coming to the forefront. When we come back, we'll tell you why this is important. Because what Dr. Darvish, you were talking about before, is that we can see a parallel here between autoimmune and Lyme disease, the great imposter. Not that we have any research to connect them, but what we have is a phenomenon. Let's take a short break, everybody. This is Lyme Talk Radio. I am Dr. Pat Basile.
And this is Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Oh, it's getting exciting now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, you know, what is it we should know about this moving forward? And also, I'd like to share some information from a psychological and psychiatric point of view. What was the research in 95? What are we learning now? What do we need to be mindful of? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Put a little
woohoo
in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little
woohoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Are you into it? For the month of April, take a picture in your Intuit apparel and post it on Facebook for all to see and receive a reading from Lynn Brown on your Facebook page of your prominent aura color and what it means for you. Make sure you tag Lynn Brown or the Are You Intuit Facebook page with your photo so Lynn can find you. Visit intuitapparel.com today and wear your intuition with pride.
Thank you.
called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Hi, I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip for the day. What is abundance? It isn't the same to all of us. So what's your personal gold? Is it the full expression of yourself in business, or in love, or in the creation of a book or product? Or the service you offer, all of the above. When we step into allowing our joy that corresponds with our essence, we are literally coming out of the closet and making new choices. We look and sound different. We don't even talk about the same things anymore. We have a new spark. So wouldn't it make sense that it causes ripples and earthquakes around us? When you shift, you affect everyone around you. You're teaching people to step into all that they are, and they will come to you and say, what have you done? What makes you different? Join me on Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and let's go deep with your abundance.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Pat.
And this is Dr. Nusheen Darvish on Lyme Radio.
Wow. We're very excited to be bringing this to all of you. We've got lots planned, you know, as we move forward. As I said earlier, you know, over the next couple of months, you're going to see a community be formed where you're going to be able to contribute, share your stories. You know, one of the things, Dr. Darvish, and we could talk about this, especially when we're talking about autoimmune and Lyme. One of the things that I think happens with people, and especially if this information that I shared, and by the way, for those of you who want to know where this came from, you can go to www.aarda.org. That's the American Autoimmune Related Disease Association. And they've got statistics. They've got lots of things here, AARD facts, everything. There's even a coalition. So you'll be able to find out more about the autoimmune aspect of disease in this country and beyond. But one of the things we were talking about is the association between some of the diseases out there and how people are getting treated and getting treated without very good results. You know, one of the things that people say, you know what, I'm still suffering here. And so it'd be great for you to talk a little bit about, you know, what you've seen in terms of people coming through rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto's, MS. Do we have to wait till we're at our wit's end to come in and say whatever I've got, including cancer, is not working for me? I need to try something else to save myself.
You know, we've become such a society where we want quick fixes. And as a result, you know, if we've got pain, instead of really becoming investigators to look into what is the cause of my pain, we just take a pain med and move on with our lives. I don't have time for pain now. I don't have time to deal with this ache in my leg or my headache or my migraine or my numbness in my feet. I don't have time. I need to run and go to my work and do what I need to do. And so I'll just take what it takes, a quick pill, to take care of it so I can keep going. But unfortunately, after years of taking the quick fix, the underlying process continues. And it gives more way for this process to grow and win over the body in many, many ways. And then we end up with pain, for instance, that is no longer manageable by pain medications. We end up with migraines that, you know, are becoming daily and constant, and no migraine medication is helping anymore. We get tired. We are so tired that we can't even lift a finger or get out of bed to take a shower or do the dishes or cook for ourselves anymore. And it's because there is an underlying process that has not been addressed. And so it's never too late to look to see what that underlying process is. Of course, the sooner, you know, if you have a tiny little headache or hormonal imbalance or PMS or numbness and tingling or blood sugar drops or, you know, rashes or digestive problems, gas or bloating or heartburn, whatever the symptom may be, it's never too late to go and have it and be investigated by somebody who wants and who desires and who is knowledgeable to look deeper than just the superficial symptoms. So this is really, really the key is what is causing that Hashimoto's or that rheumatoid arthritis or that multiple sclerosis or that migraine? What is actually causing those symptoms? And more we're coming down to recognizing that there are chronic infections and the Lyme bacteria being one of the main ones. There are other ones that are becoming more prevalent, like the mycoplasma or babesia, which is a parasite that lives inside the cells, very similar to HIV, which is a virus that lives inside the white cells. There is Bartonella, which is cat scratch disease, and Rocky Mountain disease, and all sorts of different conditions, bacterias and parasites that can cause the immune system to kind of go haywire and not recognize who the body is and who the bug is, and it just attacks everything. And as a result, produces all these symptoms. So if we can find those conditions, those infections, find those nutritional deficiencies, find the toxicity within the body, and then move forward, then we can find what's going on.
Yeah, and you know, part of this, let's talk about this for a minute. I know we're going to do a lot of shows about this as we move forward. But, you know, I did an interview not too long ago, Dr. Darvish, with somebody, a fabulous, fabulous gentleman who's speaking out against Alzheimer's disease, right? And, you know, lives on Cape Cod. And I couldn't help in listening to him and what his journey's about. I couldn't help but think, all right, we're getting a lot smarter now about Lyme disease, the symptoms of it. You know, what is it called? Lyme brain is something that's referred to. But let's just take a sneak peek for a minute. And we're going to be talking about this more as we move forward. But isn't it fascinating in some of the research that's being done now? You know, I know one study where Borrelia was found in 25.3% of Alzheimer disease cases, right? And it was 13 times more frequent in AD compared to the control group. 13 times. You know, I'm a statistician. 13 times is a phenomenon. So think about it. The CDC was off by how many? What did they say? We're three times, two times off. This is 13 times more frequent. And yet you have to ask yourself, wait a minute, how come? Well, you and I are talking about this. Lyme is a great imitator. It's associated with all of the things we just talked about and more. You know, rheumatoid arthritis on the rise. And so Lyme fog, right? That's what people talk about. Some of the symptoms start to look like dementia. But this research article that comes out, and I'm going to venture to say there's going to be more research going to this, right? But don't you think now that we're starting to see, okay, wait a minute. Shouldn't we take a look if someone is starting to get symptoms, especially, right, if it's somebody that's 42 years old with early onset of Alzheimer's? I mean, don't you think we should back up and say, wait a minute, let's get a couple more tests? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that, well, definitely we should. But I also think that there's so much fear out there, both from the patients and from the doctors. Doctors really don't know what to do with somebody who has chronic Lyme disease. I mean, let alone acknowledge it. So they ignore it, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to treat it. Patients are afraid of being diagnosed with Lyme disease because, again, they don't know what to do with it. They don't want to end up with a lifetime suffering and prescription drugs of antibiotics and so forth. So what are the alternatives? Why are we even talking about this, you and I? Because there are our alternatives, because there is a transformation that can happen within each one of us suffering from Lyme, because there is hope. And so this is why we are really doing this whole radio talk show, is to educate the world out there about Lyme disease, its associated conditions, what diseases are often misdiagnosed as, and really they are Lyme underneath or an infection underneath. And what are the alternative therapies? Because it's not all about pharmaceuticals. In fact, it's very little about pharmaceuticals and more about the patient. Yeah. And so, you know, people come into my office, they've seen multiple physicians, some of them very, very well known in the Lyme community. They've been treated multiple years with antibiotics and antimicrobial therapies, and they're still sick. They're still suffering, and they're worse than they were when they started the treatments with their doctors. And they come and they say, well, my test didn't show this. My test showed this. And I turn around and I say to them, I don't treat tests. I treat you. You know, and they're very thankful because they now realize that there is somebody that actually is treating them versus looking at laboratory tests, which are, by the way, supposed to be only confirming what the doctor's intuition and medical understanding of being with the patient is telling them. And these tests are less than 70% accurate. Most laboratory tests are, at the best, on the average, 70% accurate. So, you know, we are supposed to be treating patients, but we end up treating the laboratory tests. And then the patient feels that they are being ignored, that they are being told that they are a psych case, that they are no good, you know, that they're worthless. This is the message that the medical community is giving these patients, is that your life doesn't count. Go and suffer and die. And that's not the place to be. That's not the place to go. And there's so much hope for every one of us and every one of these patients who is suffering with chronic disease, whether it is cancer, whether it is an autoimmune disease, whether it is a neurological disease, whether it is Lyme disease. It doesn't really matter, but there, whatever the condition is that has been diagnosed, there is an underlying or multiple underlying causes that we need to investigate, correct these imbalances, and allow patients to flourish mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This is the bottom line.
Yeah, well, you know, let's talk about this and just say this moving forward. We're going to explore this in more detail. But, you know, here's what I want to leave you with on at least one of the connections that that we've discovered is, despite, you know, affecting more than 25 million people worldwide, right, mainstream medicine does not have a clear understanding of Alzheimer's disease. Now, what does that sound like? Well, that fascinating, isn't it?
Well, you make me laugh.
A clear understanding of Alzheimer's. Doesn't even have a clear understanding of Lyme disease, but the difference is they want to understand Alzheimer's. So for us, this show is about helping people understand. Let's want to understand. Let's want to get a clear understanding of Lyme disease. Let's want to do that, because that's really where we are here, right?
Exactly. And, you know, you make me laugh by making because, I mean, look at the majority of chronic diseases we have in the United States, in North America, worldwide, currently, we don't understand any of them. We don't understand cancer. We don't understand where rheumatoid arthritis comes from. We don't understand Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, depression. I mean, we really don't understand any of them, right?
Right.
But they're all like a veil. It's a veil that needs to be removed, both from a doctor's perspective. Doctors need to have this veil that is covering their eyes, right, that's making them blind to seeing what is really underneath all of this. And patients also need to have this veil removed so that they look at what is this condition that they're suffering with really telling them? What is it that it's telling them? What is it that they're needing to learn from? And what is it that they need to clear?
Yeah.
This is really what we need to work on.
And it's exciting. So here, you know, we have a few minutes left. Let me just say this. This is what I'm excited about. You know, we've heard this and you've heard this and we both chuckle about this. You know, you go to a doctor and the doctor says it's all in your head. Well, here we go. Let me just share something with folks. In 1994, because we're taking a look back, it's all in your head. I'm so honored and thrilled to be part of, to be part of a career path where in 1994, you know, Dr. Fallon came out, Dr. Niels came out and said Lyme disease, a neuropsychiatric illness. Here's what they say. You ready? And then I want to tell you how long it took after that. But here's what they say. Lyme disease is a multi-systemic illness that can affect the central nervous CNS, right? Causing neurological and psychiatric symptoms. And they go on to talk about the goal of this article. You know, my hat's off to you. And there's another article a year earlier. The goal of this article, familiarize psychiatrists with the spirochetal illness. So they go on to say that 40%, now this is an old article, right? 40% of their patients with Lyme disease develop neurological involvement of either peripheral or central nervous system. Dissemination of the CNS can occur within a few weeks after the skin infection. They compare it to syphilis. They talk about Lyme disease. This is a psychiatric article, Dr. Darvish. It's in the American Journal of Psychiatry. That is a big journal. And they go on to say, Lyme disease may have a latency period of months to years before symptoms of late infection emerge. Early signs include meningitis. I'm telling you, we could do a whole show on this article that goes back over 20 years. And so here's the punchline and the conclusion. You're right. Ready? Psychiatrists who work with endemic areas need to include Lyme disease in the differential diagnosis of any atypical psychiatric disorder. Further research is needed to identify better laboratory results. So, for example, Dr. Darvish, and you know, we're going to do a show on this, but here's what I love about this. What do they say? I'm going to get back to what do we say about people who have Alzheimer's? Oh, they have mood swings. Oh my gosh, there's something now all of a sudden psychological that goes wrong with them. You know, all of a sudden, you know, mom is okay, and then she's mean. And so here's an article back in 1994 in the American Journal of Psychiatry. This is a big time journal, right? What do you make of that, Dr. Darvish? 1993.
You know, I agree. Lyme is in your head. I do. And the reason I say that is because we're finding Lyme bacteria sitting in the jawbone, sitting in the brain, and causing all sorts of fun symptoms for patients. I mean, not fun. I'm being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But Lyme is truly in the head. And I am glad that we are doing what we're doing right now because we do need to make people more aware and help them realize that when they do go to doctors and the doctors tell them that Lyme is in their head, they're not realizing that literally it is in their brain.
Right.
That it is literally causing these psychiatric symptoms.
Right.
You know, so I'm excited to be doing this show with you because we have so much to talk about. We have so much to learn and we have so much to share and we have so much to transform. I mean, the world is hungry for this. People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases. It's time. It is time for them to transform. I mean, enough is enough, really. Well, enough is enough.
It is. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited to be talking about this because, you know, there are some of this information we're going to share, nobody is talking about, you know, unless you subscribe, okay, to, you know, this particular journal or other journals, or if you happen to stumble across an article in Dutch that talks about this way back, you're not going to know about it. But what Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots. Dr. Darvish, tell folks how folks can find out more about you. And thanks. What a great show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat, for giving us this opportunity to share and learn and become much greater souls in this world. You're more than welcome to contact our website, www.drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com. Or send an email to info@drdarvish.com. We'll be more than happy to consult and discuss your concerns and help you transform in your life.
And for those of you who have missed any part of this and want to, you know, stay plugged into what we're doing here, please go to limetalkradio.com, or you can go to limelies.com, or you could go to drdarvish.com and stay tuned. You know, we plan to connect you with a lot of information about what is being talked about in the mainstream and what the new mainstream of Lyme disease awareness and cure is all about. We'll see you next time.
Lights go out and I can't be saved. Tides that I tried to stop.